Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 60. Thank you for listening. So I'm going to confess that today is Labor Day, and it's been sort of a laborious day for me so far. Got up at 5 and did a CrossFit workout, and then I went to the Spirit Run, which is an annual school fundraiser with my 5-year-old, and she ran her first 5K. Run is a strong word. Walk slash jog would probably be more appropriate. She found a friend and thought it was more fun to socialize than to hustle. But it was a good community experience, one of those things you just need to do. And then I've been mostly working on final conference details because our Global Workspace Association conference is a week from today. And my husband is on his way to Boston for a work meeting. So we had a beach day yesterday, which was really good. But today is kind of a work day, and I am getting the podcast recorded because I have not been working as far in advance as I would like to with the conference coming up. So I will be getting my act together after the conference. But I hope you guys listening all had a really relaxing Labor Day and some good friends and family time. So before we get started, if you're starting a shared workspace, I just want to mention one more time, we are kicking off our third cohort of flight groups, which are designed to help you avoid making all the mistakes you'd make by trying to start a shared workspace by yourself. You can be a building owner, someone who's starting a co-working space. The flight groups have been fairly mixed and going really, really well. It works great to have kind of a diverse group of folks with a variety of experiences because that's how you learn best. So we are here to help you save time, save money, but also just make sure you're on the right track and doing the right things and feel confident in the decisions that you're making. We started 2 groups in April and May, and we've been running those every month and kind of learning from them, and those are going really well. We made some updates to the format, so there's an option to get some one-on-one access with me if you need some individual support throughout the month. So we're going to get the group together, and we filled half the group last week. We're going to do a kickoff call at the end of September, and our first monthly call will be the first week of October. So if you're interested, send a text to 44222 with the word or phrase flight group. That's the phrase flight group to 44222. And if you can't text, if you're outside of the U.S., just send an email to jamie@everythingcoworking.com. And if you do live outside of the U.S. and you're interested in a flight group, I've started to get some emails from folks. Send me a note and let me know where you are, because I would love to put together an international group. We just have to manage zip codes. So we want to make it the call at a time that's comfortable for everyone in the group. But if I can get an outside of the U.S. group that kind of works with the zip codes, we'll run a U.S. group and an international group that starts in October. So today's episode is about evolving space design. So in August, I went on a vacation with my family. We did some camping in Big Sur and sort of roughing it with no showers. And then we like to end our trips in a hotel with showers and amenities like restaurants and pools for the kid. So we spent some time in Santa Barbara, which also has sort of a beautiful downtown with an oceanfront. And what else does one do on vacation but visit other co-working spaces? So while I was there, I visited The Hub, which has 2 very central locations, one that's right near the beach and one about a mile from the beach, but on State Street, which is kind of the main retail shopping street that runs up from the beach. So I wandered in hoping for a tour and was pleasantly surprised that Josh, the community manager, was more than happy to let me interrupt his morning for a full tour, which is not always the case. And I totally understand that. Lots of spaces will do appointment-only tours. So I really appreciate Josh doing that. So while the Hub tour in itself was really enjoyable, and I'll share some details and some photos in the show notes, this episode is more about the fact that the industry is evolving really quickly, and operators that run multiple locations like the Hub have the advantage of learning and iterating more quickly than others. And if you're working on a new space, my recommendation is find, even if it's just online, if you don't have any locally, operators that are running multiple locations and keep your eyeballs on what they're doing with their latest spaces. And don't hesitate even just to reach out to them, because a lot of times they're happy to share their learnings and how they're evolving, especially if you're not in the same city and they don't feel like it's competitive. But you can also just stalk them on Google Images, which I'm prone to do. So that's really what the tour of the hub kind of got me thinking. I was admiring some of the things that they've done in the space and thinking, oh gosh, you know, I wish that's how my space was. And I thought, oh yeah, I bet, you know, everyone has that feeling when they go to another space, like, oh, look what they thought of that, you know, I hadn't thought of or no one had brought to my attention. And so I thought, well, we should start doing that. We should sort of have a way to bring these things to attention. So I'm going to think about some more formal ways to do that, but we're going to start with this podcast. So a little bit more about the hub, just for some context. The hub has 80 open locations with 26 in the making. So they have 15,000 members across the network. So they're learning and iterating constantly. And I don't know a lot about their central operations, but I'm guessing they have ways to disseminate their learnings to the folks that open locations under their brand. So the hub in Santa Barbara has been open for about a year. I thought it had a really well thought out layout and design that I think just really reflects a lot of industry learnings over the past, you know, 10 years or so. So for example, they have a mix of private offices, dedicated space, and open seating. They have some really nice amenities. So I, of course, was very taken by the podcasting studio, which is this cozy little studio with a, you know, two-person table if you're doing an interview, the fancy mics, and the sound-reducing foam squares on the walls and you know, really to help with acoustics. So really well done. And I think that's probably becoming quite an attractive amenity for folks that tour spaces. And possibly even better than that, they have an outdoor pizza oven. So it's Santa Barbara where it's like sunny and 70 all the time. So that makes this a lot easier. But they host member lunches every Wednesday with the pizza oven. And it's perfect, right? So it's just a really built-in thing they've done in the space that fits with their culture and their location that lends itself to member events. So I loved that. And they also have an outdoor meeting room that's protected with canvas so that you can actually see your laptop even in the sunlight. And it was being used. I think, you know, people do outdoor spaces a lot of times because it looks attractive on tours. But then I just wonder how functional it actually is, because it's hard to see your laptop screen with the sun out or you're hot. But this one was covered and it was beautiful, and it was obviously being used. So I thought that was really great. Their dedicated desks are at standing height with really nice high-end ergonomic seating and setups. And again, their furnishings were probably on the higher end and just really well done. But I think if you're starting a new space, you know, really consider investing in your furniture, because if you have chairs that are not comfortable, people can't stay all day. And then you sort of have a Starbucks situation. You know, Starbucks makes their seats uncomfortable. And I think that's probably so that people will at some point, you know, transition and let somebody else new sit down. So these, you could just tell, like, just were really perfect and really contemporary in their approach. You know, really modern, clean kitchen. They have an espresso machine. And Josh, the community manager, said, you know, they train folks in their onboarding process about how to use the machine and clean it. And he said people love it. And they also had, you know, the fruit water machines, which look really lovely, and a loose leaf tea bar, which I thought looked really fancy. Oh, and I was saving the best for last. They have, when you walk into the space, a wine bar, right? Kind of in the entrance between the exterior door and then the, you know, interior entrance to the space. And it's a space, the wine bar is run by one of their members. So how amazing is that? Not necessarily repeatable for everyone, but if you can work that out in advance, I always think that's, you know, really, really neat. So seeing this build out just, again, made me think about how do we sort of formalize this process of learning from other operators, especially those with multiple locations that are constantly learning and actually get to put those learnings into new spaces. So I thought, well, why don't I ask some of them and share? So I did. I reached out to several folks that run multiple locations, and I'm going to share their responses. And in the show notes, which are at www.everythingcoworking.com/60, I've included links to each space and some photos so that you can check them out. And of course, you can, like I said, stalk them on Google Images. So one of the first folks I reached out to actually has several spaces under the Hub brand in Australia. And I know he's done some evolutions on his most recent spaces, and so I wanted to ask him. And his first response was, without a doubt, the cafe we operate. So if you look, again, it's the Hub Australia, and they have multiple locations, but one of their most recent locations, which we'll include in the show notes, is a cafe, kind of in an event space, which can be used by people who are doing meetings, or it can be cleared out for an event. It's also an amenity for the members. And I know he's integrated some light catering that they can run on their own that is also another revenue source. So he's really happy with how that's going and what that's bringing to the space. And one of the other evolutions that Brad has made, you know, which partly supports the cafe, is to make his spaces larger. So his typical space used to be, you know, closer to the 5,000 square feet range, and his latest space was, you know, 20,000 plus. So the benefits to scale include being able to do more individual and team offices, which can really help to create a sustainable model. And when you have teams, you have more people that support the cafe and the catering and the meetings. And then also more common areas that offer a variety of work settings and amenities. Again, you know, the cafe fits into that. And Brad also added, when I reached out, he said, you know, design and fit out really matters. And the businesses that they cater to expect a really well done build out, and they're happy to pay for it because they're attracting and retaining their staff. And I think that's something to think about if you're doing a bigger space where you expect to have teams. I think that's a great point. The people running those teams or the person paying that bill, if they're not in the space, are thinking about, what do my employees want, and how can I give them a really great place to work and amenities? And how do I, there is an ROI to that. And I remember seeing that for my Chicago location with the yoga studio and with the private kitchen and the private chef. And I remember early on, one of my members who was growing a small business was like, look, I can't offer myself a lot of, you know, sort of benefits. So this is great because this, you know, I can sort of through you offer these, and it makes me more attractive. So I think definitely think about that. And then I also reached out to Mara, the founder of 25 North Coworking, and she is one of my recent podcast episode interviewees on suburban coworking. So take a listen to that episode if you haven't gotten to that yet. So Mara has two design evolutions that she thinks are making a big impact. So the first, movable walls to open and close spaces. So she learned from her first space that flexibility can be key. Even so, for events and really, you know, sort of obvious things like that, and even just for sort of adjusting the space as you learn about how people use it. So it really allows for flexibility. And she also said it's a way to keep sound separated by the function of the space. So she said they have a hub where printers and office supplies go. And in their first space, they kind of had that adjacent to an open flex seating space. And she said they didn't run power to it, and having the hub right next to the open seating was really distracting because of the sound. So she said now they run power to the flex space, and then they use the movable walls to create sound distractions or sound barriers to avoid those distractions that can be created by the hub. And she said she can also, though, open the space up and use it for events. So it serves a function and also creates more flexibility in the space. And then her second evolution is booths, like the kind you'd find in a restaurant. She said people love these, and make sure to include power and a monitor if you can. And she said, you know, just, you know, kind of integrate them into the open space. She said they add a really nice variety to a space that would typically just have, you know, sort of more standard bench seating. And they can serve as a collaborative area or workspace. People can do meetings there and feel like, even though they're not in a meeting room, they have a little bit of privacy. They're kind of set off a little bit, and it's a little bit of a different variety than just sitting at a regular meeting table. And they just, you know, create another alternative environment, which I think people think are really enjoyable. And it's something that's hard, you know, to get out of a home office, for example. It's like, really, you have, you know, your kitchen table and maybe a desk in your office and, you know, maybe your couch or whatever. But to have a variety of work areas that are highly designed, you know, in a space that you're paying for is really part of that return and appeal. I reached out to Jerome from Blank Spaces, and he said one of the big things he's doing, so Jerome's an architect, so he's always thinking about, one of the things I always remember that he talks about is putting meeting rooms up front so that folks who are coming in just to use meeting rooms don't have to walk all the way to the back of the space and disrupt everyone. Plus, the community manager is closer to those meeting rooms so they can manage, you know, the folks in there, be there if they need anything. So he always has little learnings that he shares. But he said recently, one of the things he's doing in his spaces is adding team spaces and even large ones that are for 12 or more people. He said for the first time, he's fulfilling a request to take down walls to convert 3 1-to-2 person offices into a team office for 8. So he's definitely seeing that trend of teams coming in and wanting bigger spaces and all wanting to be in one room versus taking multiple offices for a team. I reached out to Nick Clark, who runs the Common Desk in Dallas, who's done 2 local spaces, expansions, and now has just done a new location in Plano, Texas with developer Granite Properties, and it's a much bigger location. So he said his biggest learning is that they've designed a hospitality desk at the entrance of each of their new spaces. It offers coffee, snacks, mail service, and is staffed by their host. And he said the host makes sure all members and visitors are welcomed with a smile and have a coffee in hand, which probably sets a really great tone for tours, visitors, and any member who's just coming in for the day and wants to see a smile at the front. Actually, I am, as soon as the conference is over and have some time to do this in my Palo Alto space, our coffee bar is in the back, and I am also going to sort of rework the space and move it to the front because I've seen the same thing. It feels like, from a host standpoint, you want that coffee bar in the front when people walk in. And then I reached out to Liz from Link Coworking in Austin. She has 3 locations. Liz's immediate response was a big communal table. When I designed my first space, she said, there were less than 50 coworking spaces in the world, and today, we're not really sure, but our best guess is around 14,000. So a lot has changed. So she said she did not include a big open kitchen space in Link Coworking, and she has regretted it ever since. So she said, when we want to have communal lunches, we have to go outside or book the conference room. And she does have a beautiful outdoor space in Austin, so that's not a terrible choice. She's constantly posting photos of the squirrels that frequent their patio on Instagram. But she said at Link Flex, which is her newest bigger space, they put in a big communal table, and she said it's lovely and it makes for such a natural gathering space. She said she won't make another space without one. And I can totally relate to that. At our location in Chicago, we had the most fabulous, big, wide-open kitchen with a huge island, like the biggest island you've ever seen. And it was perfect for member lunches, for people to meet, to have coffee, you know, to do potlucks. It really worked really well for events. And I don't have one of those in Palo Alto. And I feel in the same boat as Liz, I wouldn't do another space without that. And then I talked to Laura Kozaluzic, who's the founder and CEO of Quest Workspaces. She has, I think, 9 locations, 8 in Miami and 1 in Manhattan. And she's done a couple of new spaces with some really interesting amenities. So she said her space has evolved by adding unique, functional, and playful amenities, allowing her questers, which is what she calls her members, to work the way they want, including, she said, they now have nap rooms, which is right up my alley, set up for those who just need a break, decked out with reclining, massaging easy chairs, and it has a cozy lake house design complete with fireplace. How good does that sound? They also have lap rooms. When I just looked at my notes and I was like, what is a lap room? Because I keep forgetting. So it's a room with a treadmill and standing desks. The treadmill has a great, I put the photo of it in the show notes. It has like a view of like a running path on the wall. It's like a full wall mural and the treadmill is facing it. So you can have some scenery while you're running. So that's why she calls it the lap room, because you can walk and talk or work or whatever it is. And I actually thought it was really smart to make this a room, because I think people sometimes try to do these in the open space. And I know folks have said Nick Clark from the Common Desk has one in his space and said it, he personally loves it. And so he would occasionally send me some notes like, oh, I did a 5K today, you know, while I was talking on the phone. But I could see it being more appealing to folks in a room on its own where they're not sort of being watched while they walk, or you could take a conference call and walk. So I think that's neat. And she said they also have chat rooms that have playful designs like chalkboard walls. And then they've integrated community cafe tables that have been a big hit and great area for their social events. And then Kane Wilmot, who's the president of the GWA and co-founder of IQ Office Suites, they're doing a new space in Vancouver. And he said they're doing all sit-stand desks. And he said they have pneumatic power, meaning they don't require electricity, so you don't have cables running to them. He said they have pistons in the leg, which allows the desk to be adjusted to custom heights by just pressing a lever. So I think that's a great trend. Those can be expensive. I'll have to ask him who his supplier is, but he's seeing high demand for these, and he's just going all in on them for his new space. So that's kind of the roundup of some of these evolutions of design by folks that are doing new spaces. And like I said, I'll try to think of a way to kind of formalize gathering these, because I think they're really good insights for people who are designing new spaces and trying to make sure they include the latest learnings as the industry is evolving so quickly and we're learning fast. We need a way to kind of capture that. So if you're listening and you've done a new space and love something that you've integrated into the space and feel like it's a good evolution, shoot me an email at jamie@enderspacecoworking.com and we'll include this. I'm going to turn this into a blog post as well. So if you have something you'd like to add, we'd love to include you in the blog. So thanks for listening today. And again, if you're interested in the flight group, shoot me an email at jamie@everythingcoworking.com or text flight group to 44222. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.